Hey guys, in case you're interested, all of the music for this podcast came from the band 8-Bit Bandit, and this song is Whiplash. It's me, Colin Connors, with the Survivor Org podcast, and I'm here with a very special guest tonight. I'm here with the one and only James Miller. Yes, James Miller from Survivor Palau. Say hello, James.
That's right, damn it.
This is the top dog nigger, I'm telling you right now. Survivor James Miller, come on.
So, James, how are you?
I'm doing great, dude.
What have you been up to these days?
Working my ass off. That's what I've been doing.
What do you do?
I install satellite for Dish Network.
That sounds fun.
It's really hard work, hot work, pays really well.
That's what matters, right? Paying really well.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So... James, how long have you been a fan of Survivor?
I guess since I was on it.
Since you were on it.
Before I went on it, I didn't watch Survivor. And I was married at the time. And the wife says, you need to get on Survivor. And we watched it. So I went and downloaded the application and never really did fill it on a shelf over the dadgum washer. And 2 years later... we split up, we got separated, and I said, you know what? I took the application off the shelf that was over the dadgum washer, filled it out, and I had a friend do a video, and I sent it in to CBS, and I told them that I lived in a shithole, I worked in a shithole, and I drove a shithole. And they said, dude, 3 weeks later, they came and did an interview, and it just got more hilarious after that.
That's good. I like that story, though. It's good to hear that you weren't recruited, but you actually applied.
Yeah, let me tell you something about these damn freaking... They are recruiting. They just go up and say, hey, you want to be on Survivor? Because when I was on, you had to fill out a video and an application, and you went through... Man, Jeff Probst must be on drugs or something, because he ain't acting right. And CBS ain't doing the same, very well either. They must be recruiting folks, because... they ain't going up and asking them, say, hey, you want to be on Survivor? Because back in my day, they'd make an application and a video, and then you'd go do a psych eval and all, and they want you to be kind of crazy, but not so crazy you kill somebody. And people on there now, they just ain't got no dadgum personality.
That is true. There's a lot of what they call bore whores on the show. Just a lot of pretty girls that really don't do much.
You ain't lying. These chicks on the show, I thought it was going to be something fierce. I watched this damn premiere this season for the Philippines, and Jack Probst even looks like he ain't happy. You know, he's thinking, oh, my God, I got to do another show with freaking retards. You know, who the hell sends a dude on TV who's accidental prone? And he's cutting himself up, hitting himself in the head, stabbing himself in the hand with a dadgum machete. Who the hell eats a coconut with a machete anyhow? Right?
What's the correct way to eat a coconut? For those that don't
correct
know.
Correct way, you break that thing open with your machete, you split it in half, and you dig it out with a dadgum stick. That's it. A little stick. That way, if it breaks, it just breaks. You ain't stabbing yourself in the hand with a dadgum machete.
What other seasons have you watched recently, James?
Well, I've watched them all. So, I just, you know, it's a matter of remembering everybody. My favorite on the last one was Kat. And then, you know, she was kind of hot to me on the show.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I see her on Facebook, and she ain't so hot no more. You know?
What's that about, man?
I don't know, man. I dated this chick has some eyeballs kind of like her, you know, sunk in and look like you're dead, you know? And that's a good feeling. Come on. You always want to date a dead chick.
Well, we'll leave that to other podcast hosts.
Yeah, come on.
Here's something I've been really curious about. With how did you feel about your edit and your portrayal on Survivor Pull Out? Do you think that captured you accurately or not?
Well, I'll tell you. I think they edited it to where... I mean, they tried to make me out to be this overbearing redneck. And I am kind of redneck, and I do have some redneck-isms. And I am kind of funny, because it's just the words that come out of my mouth. I can't help it. It's just to make people laugh.
Uh-huh.
But, they over-edited it, and they were doing pretty good. What they really do is they don't really take it out of context, you know, to make you seem like a bad person, because what they did is they made me seem like the oracle of Oolong, you know, like I'm the wise one. I really ain't the wise one, or Mother Hen or nothing like that.
Uh-huh.
I was just a dadgum dude that was, like, trying to take charge because these folks were retarded. And they were, I'm telling you. And but they do is that we don't our tribe just wasn't really, you know, we didn't really attack each other. So what would happen is, you know, people would get on your nerves, but you wouldn't say nothing because we're all cool cats.
Uh-huh.
So the producers who were doing the interviews on your the testimonials, they'd say, "So James, what do you think about Kim? I mean, don't you think she's a little lazy, sitting on her butt all the time?" And I said, "Boy, and making you do all the work, you're going to get crabs and water and food, and she don't do nothing. She don't help around camp." And they just ag you on, and you get pissed off, and boy, you just blow the hell up. Come on.
So,
and I did. I blew up on Kim. Go ahead.
Well, no, keep going. This is you and I don't remember yours and Kim's fight. Was that widely publicized on the show?
Well, hell yeah! All I did was say that girl, all she does is just sit around, and the only workout she does is drinking coconut water.
Here's something I've always wanted to know: what's Jeff Probst like in person?
Jeff Probst, let me tell you something. That dude right there, you got to have some respect for the fella, because he's a dick, and he's got like a photographic memory, and that's really, you know, one of the two reasons I respect him is because he can remember shit, and you know, he just watches your little testimonial. He doesn't have one of those teleprompters or anything like that. He just knows what the hell he's gonna say, and he can add you on more than the dadgum producers. And challenges, you know, he'll tell you, "This is how we got to do it. This is what we're going to do." And then they'll start filming. And so we'll do it. And every now and then you got a retard in the crowd, you know, that just has to fall on his own feet and he can't do nothing. And boy, he'll say, "Stop, stop, stop. What in the hell's wrong with you people? Can you not understand the words coming out of my mouth?" So you'll have to tell him how to do it again, and we do it all over again. Come on.
That's awesome. I did not know he did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would too. If I had to deal with some dadgum strangers who were retarded, damn right, I'd put them in their place.
Well, what was your relationship like with your tribe? Were you really close with everyone, or did you just have a general disdain for them for not winning any challenges?
Well, I like Bobby John, and I like Stephanie for the most part. Kim, she's kind of hot. I would have fornicated with her. And let's see. Angie, me and her were kind of close. And what's that girl's name with the big old hooters?
Ashley?
Ashley, yeah, she's a Mormon too, man. She showed me her hooters, man. They was fake, and they look pretty good. Come on. So, but me and Ashley and Angie, you know, they laid on my chest one night when I was sleeping, and I was thinking, damn, if I wasn't starving to death, I might just swap a little spit in the ocean with this chick, you know?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Can you tell us more about Tribal Council? Like how long it is and what you would do doing it?
Tribal Council. You would walk in there and you'd sit down and they'd talk, you know. Jeff would talk to us and he'd get all this kind of information out of us, you know. So we'd all, it's like you would see on TV, but it's, they edit it because they take the best stuff and keep it and then they ditch the rest. So it usually takes about 3 hours to do Tribal Council.
And, oh, 3 hours, holy shit.
Oh, yeah, 3 hours. And then, damn, they just, we get done, and it's like bedtime. It's like 9, 10 o'clock at night, I reckon. And you gotta get in your boat and you paddle, because they video this stuff. You don't really paddle from your island to Tribal. They just show you paddling. And then you get on a powerboat, and they take you to the island, and then you get in your boat again, like 100 yards off the coast of the island, and then you paddle up to the island. And sometimes we have to do that more than once just because people didn't do it right, you know?
The retards on your tribe couldn't paddle a boat correctly.
You ain't lying. Bunch of re-rees, I'm telling you.
Okay.
They were there hitting their head with the dadgum little red helmet, drooling all the time.
Did anything happen that you thought would wind up on the show that didn't wind up on the show?
Let's see. I was singing around a campfire that sounded kind of stupid, and I'm glad it didn't show up.
So you won't give us a little song right now?
Well, I'll give you a little bit.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm packing up my game. I'm going to head out west. Will real women come with me?
What'd you say? That's not bad. That was Kid Rock, right?
You damn right. That's a redneck version. Come on.
Well, I'm from the South, too. I got a little bit. I know a little bit about Kid Rock.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from North Carolina.
Oh, well, there you go. I drove through Charlotte one time. There's too many damn mountains out there. I hated that place, and it gets cold in the wintertime.
It does. It really does. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, when you got voted out, did you know you were going home?
No. Well, I knew that. Once I didn't know I was going to get voted out. I actually got blindsided. I thought for sure that it was going to be me, Bobby John, and Ibrahim going to vote Stephanie out.
Uh-huh.
And Stephanie, turns out, lied to Bobby John and told him that I had voted for him on the previous tribal, but it wasn't me, it was her. And
wow.
he never did come say, hey, dude, why'd you vote for me? Because I told him, dude, I didn't vote for you. You smoking crack. And, you know, had he done that, it'd probably been the whole table would have turned and she would have been gone. Then Ibrahim would have been gone and it'd been me and him. And I'd have fought his ass for fire because it was me and him that made the fire.
Well, that's really interesting. So Stephanie did kind of mastermind your demise, it seems like.
Yes, she did. She did a good job at it, too. Okay. Had everybody bamboozled. Had a fool.
Have you been asked back before?
No. No, but I'll tell you what, I was on Facebook here the other, I guess about maybe a month or two ago, and just blowing it up and having started messing with one of my friends, calling him a retard and everything, and telling him he was drooling all over the place and beating his head with his little red helmet and riding the short bus, and it was just funny, and I got a lot of responses, and then I just happened to notice that Jeff Probst was checking me out. He had checked me out for like a whole month, and executive lady from CBS was checking me out too. So I pitched to Lynn Spillman. She's the chick that signed me up on Survivor. I told her, I said, listen, I'm trying to get on the Amazing Race with Kobe. Kobe's a homosexual that whooped my ass, if you didn't know that.
Oh, I remember Kobe, and he beat you at the sumo challenge.
Yeah. So she pitched it to CBS that me and him want to be on the Amazing Race, so that might happen. And I might get on Survivor on the next season. You never know.
That is true. I do never know. Well, hopefully, if you do get on, you'll be the first person we interview.
Well, there you go, because it's going to be funny as hell. I'll probably be the last one to get voted off.
Oh, yeah. I think you actually would have done really well if your tribe hadn't been decimated. I think you would have gone really far.
Yeah, it's because you had all them damn youngins on there. and they're trying to be all gung-ho, and them old people, you know, they're smart. They like to go around just taking their time because they're afraid they're going to break a hip. So the young guys are over here trying to push, and they wear themselves out, and you can't keep a constant pace. You know, we did good on the reward challenges, but them immunity challenges, they were all based on just, you know, stamina. And young guys just didn't have it.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, this is a little,
this question's a little off the cuff, but do you, can you do any celebrity impersonations?
Let's see. Let's see. I might be a decent John Wayne. Let's see. Let's try it.
Okay, yeah, let's hear your John Wayne.
All right. Hold it right there, little lady. I'm not taking your shit anymore. I'm gonna stomp a mud hole in your ass.
That was really good, James. I'm a huge movie buff, and that was really good.
What? All right. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, James, I'm going to name off some survivors, and I want you to tell me what you think of them, okay?
All right.
Richard Hatch.
Richard Hatch, that dude's a homosexual. He's a little overbearing. He thinks he's God's gift to humanity. He seems to come off as super, super duper intellectual, like he's smarter than everybody else. He's a good guy. I like him and all, but he's just like too educated for me. You know, you can't understand a word that's coming out of his mouth because it's not English. It's something else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like alien.
It's like a academia version of English.
Yeah, he's like a dat-gum Ewok on freaking Star Wars or something. You know, you can't understand that dude.
What about Russell Hance?
Russell Hance, that dude right there is a dick. I met him in Florida when I was doing a fundraiser. And he comes off like a cool cat, but he don't want to talk to you unless you're in his clique. And there's a lot of cliques out there. Most of these survivors got that little clique thing. You know, you got the little chicks that are hot. They tend to hang with the hot chicks. I tend to hang with everybody because I'm just a social person. You know, most folks are out there antisocial, and most of the people they got on the show are antisocial. Anybody that's got a clique and they prefer to stay in their clique and they don't want to include anybody else, you know, they treat you like you're that dude that's getting his ass whooped on dodgeball, you know, that ain't cool. So I don't do that. I include everybody. And you can just walk into a room, you know, when you're doing your fundraisers, and you can see all the little cliques, and they all got theirs. But see, they all like me. And the party don't start till I walk in, dude. I'm telling you, I walk in there, people say, "Hey, James, come here." And I say, "What's up?" They say, "Can you sign my titty?" I say, "Hell yeah." You know, come on. That's what I do.
Have you signed any Survivor players' titties?
Let's see. I think I signed Angie's titty. They're kind of saggy. Droopy, you know, she needs to work on them things a little bit. But nobody else is. I've signed their butts. You know, they think they're better. They're better than everybody else. You know, but fans, shit, fan will come up to me and say, "James, give me an autograph." And I say, "Well, hell yeah. What you got? What you want me to sign? Here, just sign right here." And she'll pop her titty out. And you know what? When you're signing titties, there's a way that you got to grab a hold of that thing. And you got to squeeze it and make it really, really tight so you can get some good ink on there, you know?
That's all right. I'm going to ask you about another survivor. Okay. John Cochran.
Is that skinny-ass dude, the one that got his ass whooped all the time, the little redhead, little nerd?
Yes, it is.
Dude, that boy ain't right in the head. I'm telling you, he thought he was playing a game, but he ain't. I think the game's going on. He's supposed to be like a big survivor guru. That dude, he just ain't right. There's something wrong with him. I'm telling you. I could tell from day one that boy wasn't going to make it at all.
What about Kim, the most recent winner of Survivor?
Kim, that's that big, tall-ass chick with the little titties, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. You know what? She earned it. She was a badass chick. I really don't have anything bad to say about her because she played the game pretty good, but she is kind of tall, and she would be really intimidating. But if I ever meet her, I'm 6'1" and 3/4. I threw that in there, of course. And I'd probably stand eye to eye to her, so she wouldn't intimidate me because I don't get intimidated, and I'm not shy, and I don't get embarrassed, and I'd probably end up embarrassing her. But she would laugh, and then she would think, oh, my God, James Miller, I just swap spit with you in the shower. That's what she would think. Come on.
Wow. Who's your favorite Survivor winner of all time?
Wow. My favoriteest winner. Well, it ain't going to be Tom Weston because he's a dick too.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Tell us about Tom Westman.
Yeah, Tom, you know, he plays a tough game. But, you know, I thought he was cool. And we get to the finale, and they say his dick ass is the winner. And I go to shake his hand, and he walks right past me like I wasn't even there. And his little caboose, little Indian baby, whatever them damn Indian babies are, papoose. Yeah, his little papoose, Ian. Man, that little mother trucker. Tell you. He told me right before we went on stage, Ian says to me, because I just wear whatever the hell I want to wear. And I was wearing some blue jeans. They were designer jeans, as a matter of fact. They had holes all up in them, you know. All my legs were showing, you know. There's holes everywhere. And he says, dude, you're not going to wear that, are you? And I said, yeah. He says, that's kind of gay and redneck, don't you think? And I said, you know what, let's see, hold on a second, I am a redneck, come on, of course I'm gonna wear it. What the hell's wrong with you? Don't even talk to me, you skinny ass. I was about to whoop his ass. That boy's got some issues.
Really, what's up with Ian? Because we only saw the nice side of him.
Oh my God, Ian stuck up. He thinks he's just God's gift to everybody, you know. He just, he'll talk down to you, and he's got his little clique, you know. His little clique was Katie Gallagher, and who else was it? Oh, my God, that's it, because nobody really liked his ass.
Cool, cool. Well, let's go back to that previous question. So who's your favorite Survivor winner?
Favorite? This is a Survivor winner. Well, I guess we're going to have to go with Russell Hanson. Oh, wait, he didn't win. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, dang. Name off some winners.
Okay, Richard Hatch, Tina Wesson, nope. Ethan Zan, Vesipia Tauri, Brian Hayduk, Jenna Maraska, Sandra Diaz-Twine, Amber, Boston Rob's wife, girl, Chris Daugherty, Tom Westman, Danny Boatwright, Arius Baxter Banks, or whatever, however you say his last name, Earl Cole, Todd from Survivor China, Poverty Shallow, Bob from Survivor Gabon, JT from Survivor Token Machines, Natalie White's from Samoa, Sandra Diaz-Twine again for Heroes vs. Villains, Fabio from Nicaragua, Boston Rob from Redemption Island, Sophie Clark, South Pacific, Kim from One World. That's all
Survivor
of them.
And then Survivor James is going to be on the next one. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
So, I tell you, it'd have to be Boston Rob. And it's only because he really earned it on that last one that he was on, where he did win. I know Sandra. She's a cool cat, but she ain't my favoritist, you know, because she just didn't really bring it, you know. She won, but she didn't bring personality to the table, you know, like Bob, Rob, whatever the fuck his name is, you know. He's just, but you know what? I just don't like Boston Rob because he's just, I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his eyeballs, the way they look. And he just, you know, it's only because when I was on the show, we had Kim and Jeff Wilson and Jonathan, whatever the hell his name was. You know, they was fornicating, swapping spit the first few days before Jonathan and got kicked off. And then it was just Kim and Jeff. And then Jeff, you know, he made himself quit. He got voted off because he wanted to get voted off because he knew she was next in line. But he wanted to, you know, give her that extra day because he knew if he did that and went back to the Ponderosa, he was going to get laid, okay? And that was the plan. So, you know, I told Jeff and Kim, I said, we ain't having another Boston Rob and Amber thing going on here. So that's why I don't really like Boston Rob, because he pulled the Amber card, you know? But he did deserve it, you know?
Well, who's your favorite Survivor contestant that you've met in real life?
In real life, my most favoritist, I'd have to say, out of all of them, Bobby John. Because that dude is stand up. He's straightforward. He's a straight shooter. He don't really cuss, you know, like me. He's from Montgomery, Alabama. And he's like an animal. And, yeah, that'd be only one I really like out of all the Survivors.
Well, now, maybe me, you, and Bobby John should all do a podcast together.
We should do that, because Bobby John, he's got his own show on PBS for kiddies.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, let's do it, because I will attack people. I ain't afraid of doing it.
I've noticed, and it's very entertaining. And it's good to hear, you know, some insight into the Survivors, you know, not stuff you normally hear.
Oh, yeah.
What about Rupert?
Rupert, I've met him once. He's a go get 'em kind of guy. He's kind of he don't look professional. He looks like a dadgum caveman, but he likes to talk professional, you know, and like he's doing great things, and that's his thing, you know. It just ain't mine.
Would you vote for him for governor?
Hell no. Why, is he trying to run for governor?
Yeah, he's running for governor in his home state.
Really?
Yeah, as a libertarian.
Dude, that's really weird, because you know what I was thinking today?
What?
I was thinking, why don't I just run for president? What's the worst that could happen? They don't vote for me. I might get some dadgum funding, you know, that they may get. I may make a million or two so I can do some advertising on TV and all, and people might just vote for me just because it's funny as hell and not think that I would be president. If I was president, dude, this whole economy would change. Tell me.
What would you do to fix the economy, James?
Dude, I would take all the homeless people and make them get a job. I'd take all them dat-gum people that make babies. And I'm talking the kind like the damn babies that we don't die, we multiply. Them babies, you know? I would make them get a job. Come on.
Well, what would the age restriction be like? Would you get like the two-year-old get a job, or?
Oh, hell yeah. If that dude can talk, he can get a job. Come on. He can use his boogers as glue or something, you know? Hell yeah. Not really. But
yeah, that, oh, yeah, yeah. I know you're joking, but it's still pretty interesting idea. Well, you know, they say that's why Newt Gingrich ran, that he wasn't really planning on actually accepting the nomination. He just wanted to run so that way he could raise money and sell some books.
Oh, dude, see? I could do that.
Uh-huh. Same thing with Herman Cain. Those are the big rumors.
Who the hell is Herman Cain?
He was the African-American man that had the 777 tax plan.
Oh. Maybe that's why we didn't know who he was, because it doesn't make any sense.
He wasn't around for a while. He got out of the game pretty early.
What a dumbass. He should have hung in there.
What was your favorite challenge that you did?
The flag challenge. You remember that? When we had to run across the barrels and such?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I fell my ass, but that one there, that challenge right there, we stomped a mud hole in Karor's ass. We felt pretty good about that.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
Hell yeah.
What was your least favorite challenge?
My worst challenge? My least favorite challenge is when the sake bottles. You remember the sake bottles? You probably don't, because you're going to have to watch it because you said you didn't pay attention to it. The sake bottles. We was out going to get the damn sake bottles, and Ibrahim.
Oh, yeah, he got stuck out there. I do remember that.
Yeah, that mother trucker can't swim. It would have been nice if he'd have said, hey, y'all, I can't swim. I'm just going to go out there, jump in the water, and y'all pull me back. And then one of y'all who can swim run out there and get one. That's what he should have said, because we ran out there. I was pissed. We was winning, and he couldn't get down and get the sake bottle because he's afraid to hold his breath, thought he might die. He didn't know that he's a human being. We float, you know? So we lost that challenge, and I was pissed because I really wanted that beef stew. And they got to eat the beef stew in front of us at Tribal, and you could smell it. I was not a happy camper.
Yeah, I would imagine. How hungry and how just miserable do you get when you're out there?
I tell you what, you know, I'm a young, strapping individual, and I get aroused around a woman pretty easy. But I tell you what, on Survivor, I was yanking on that thing, praying, please work, because it wouldn't work, because you go into, like, survival mode, and the only thing that works is your brain, your heart, and your body. That's it. Everything else shuts down just enough just to keep you alive, because you're starving. 4 days we went without, all we could eat was coconut, because we couldn't catch no damn food, because the fish was smarter than we were, and we didn't think about catching crab till like day five, so we was eating coconut, and there's like 50,000,000 ways to cook coconut, and it gets really nasty and old. And coconut milk, all that is a laxative, dude. So anything you had before you went on there was on the ground, and somebody stepped in it. Thank God it wasn't me.
Wait, who, did someone actually step?
Dude, let me tell you something. I had to go really bad. So I didn't poop for 4 days, okay? Because you can't. But we were eating good before we went on there. So you know my belly was packed. So we ate coconut just so we could have some sort of, you know, sustenance. Your brain thinks you're eating, you know, so it gives you a little bit of energy. And day four, I had a cramp, and I said, dude, I got to take a shit. And I said, man. So the people said, because we didn't have our porta potty that we built yet. So, you know, the production team says, y'all got to take a dump in the woods, okay, and cover it up. You know, so I said, all right. But when I had to go, it was dark. All right. So I was strolling out, feeling around on the path. And I said, dude, I got to take a shit. So I went and plopped down and squatted and took a dump. And, you know, all we had to wipe our ass with was leaves. So they told us, and I forgot, don't use the elephant ear leaves that have the red dots on it. So I used the elephant ear leaves with the red dots on it. And what I shouldn't have. So I took a big old giant dump. That thing was the size of a dadgum cow turd. And I covered it up best I could with sand. And it was right off the beaten path. And so the next day, you know, I'm kind of walking fuddy because I had a rash from using the damn leaf with the red dots on it. You don't want to do that. Okay. And then we was going to find a cave, because we got tired of getting rained on. So the production crew was walking. They had one guy holding the camera. He walks backwards. And there's another guy holding his belt loop walking forward, you know, guiding him so he don't bump into no tree or nothing like that. So he's just walking. And you can't really look at the camera because then it looks like you're looking at the camera. So we're just walking and talking, me and the other survivors. And I hear the camera dude going, shit. And he said, who the hell shit on the damn path? And I said, I didn't say nothing. Come on. I wasn't about to own that. Hell no. And it smelled like ass really bad.
That's an amazing story, James.
Oh, hell yeah. Come on.
Do you have any other interesting stories like that?
Let's see. They said, don't leave the island because you'll get lost. But the island wasn't that big. So it was me and Bobby John and Ashley, the big titties. And we said, they told us there was a lemon tree on that damn island. And we needed some lemons because it's supposed to make you feel better, supposedly. I don't know. But we hunted up and down trying to find that damn lemon tree. And we couldn't find no lemon tree. So we crossed the whole island. And we got down into the water and we couldn't climb back up because it was like a big flat wall. And we said, fudge. So we ended up having to walk all the way around that island. It took us like 4 hours. They had the production crew in helicopters and speedboats looking for us. They thought we got ate up by sharks.
Oh, well, thank God you didn't get eaten up by sharks. That would have been awful. All
right.
It would have been great television, but it would have been awful.
Hell yeah. And let me tell you something. Chickens can fly, okay? I didn't know that. I thought they could fly fly straight. I didn't know they could fly up. They had a chicken on there. I built a dadgum chicken catcher and had a little trap door with a vine holding it. And I was going to sit in the tree and wait for this damn thing to crawl in the damn cage. He wouldn't even go. And I got tired of holding the damn door, so I made it to where he'd have to trip a little stick that would make the door fall. But the damn thing never did go in the cage. And then I got voted off. And then some chicken feller told me, dude, all you had to do is follow him and see where he went. And I said, well, how are you going to catch the damn thing? He'd fly. He said, dude, they can't see in the dark. You just go up there and grab him by the neck and you got lunch. I said, well, hell.
Well, you can use that for the next time you go on.
You're damn right. Next time I'm going to know how to catch chicken.
Oh, yeah. And then you catch all the chickens and then they won't vote you out at all.
That's right. They ain't going to vote me out because I'm entertaining. I'm kind of funny. And I act stupid. See, if you act stupid on purpose, they'll think you're stupid. And they'll think, well, we'll just keep him around because nobody's going to vote for his stupid ass. Come on.
Well, actually, this podcast is about people that played Survivor online. And that was my strategy when I played online, was to act stupid. And it worked pretty well for a while.
See? Come on. It works.
It does work.
All right.
Is there anything about the show that most people who watch at home wouldn't know?
Huh. Well, people do have sex on the show. They do propagate and they try to fornicate as much as they can. And they are videotaping it 24/7. They don't really care. They don't edit it. They edit it, but they don't show the part where they actually swap and spit. They just show, the cuddling and all because it's a family-oriented show, but... Dude, come on.
Who was hooking up on your season?
Jeff and Kim Wilson, Ken Lyon, and who the hell's that dude? I don't remember his dude. He's from Chicago. He's not. He
Greg?
Greg. Greg Carey and Jen Lyon, they was hooking up. And Willard and Karen, they thought about it, but she said, dude, you just walk funny. And he did walk funny.
That's a disgusting picture in my head. Willard and Karen.
A coconut fell on Willard's head, man. It fell from the tree. He's just standing there talking to somebody, and the coconut fell and boop, bounced off his head, and he just started walking funny ever since.
Does he still walk funny?
He still walks funny. I think he's got like something going on with his toes. There's like too many of them or something.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Let's see. Final thoughts. I tell you what, whoever's listening out there, this is Survivor James. You'll hear me again, and you can call in.
Dennis, anything you would like to say?
No, it's been a pleasure, James.
It's been wonderful, James. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Die.